Yeah, they're installing fiber or something in the neighborhood.
That is annoying.
It's not too bad.
Plus, then you'll have faster internet, maybe, possibly.
It'll definitely be faster, but I don't think it will be cheaper, is the sad thing.
Speaking of soulless capitalism, I just watched the 8th Swan Princess movie. No, has to be an odd number, right?
I can't check. Normally,
excuse me, yes.
Normally I'm on top of fact checking, but today I will not be.
List of Swan Princess movies. Let's see. Swan Princess the film series. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is Swan Princess number 11.
11?
11.
What, 11 of these?
Yeah, all the way through start to finish.
That's wild. But and you felt this one was soulless to you? You didn't feel a...
Okay, not to get too far into it. The franchise is soulless, and I will not hear a word otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm still pretty certain it's a tax scam. This movie had parts in it where it was straight up a good movie for like 5 minutes at a time, but those 5 minutes were there.
It was odd how not bad it was.
Welcome to Direct-to-Video. VHS. A podcast where we pair movies like fine wine. We're going back to the vine for this one, hopefully for the last time.
It really feels like this movie really felt like it was for the last time, to the point where I forgot until the last frame slapped me across the face that there was one more.
This movie is wrapping up a character that I did not think we needed a wrap up on, right? But it essentially gave us this whole deep dive into, like, no, you should care about this character. Also, she's done now.
the culmination of this movie is Derek and Odette becoming king and queen of Chambers?
Sorry, does their country have a name?
I think it's Chambers.
Chambers?
Or Chambers?
Well, I can't find it on this Wikipedia page. Doesn't mean no, but anyway.
Useless. There is like a dearth of information on this franchise on the internet.
That's because two human people have watched these movies in order, Andy.
we are the experts.
Ask me anything. Ask me about number 9. Ask me about the secret arts.
I am genuinely upset that we didn't the of all the things to focus on.
So there's the most disappointing moment of the movie. I assume you agree with this. The most disappointing moment of the movie was when two major characters die.
Yeah.
I'm like edge of my seat locked in. I'm like, is this going to be about dealing with grief? Is this going to be about the growing, like the horrible magic stuff that's going to eventually culminate in the first movie? What's going to happen next? And then it jumps forward 25 years. It's like, you don't care about that anymore. I thought I might get some secret art stuff. I'm not sure I would have wanted it, but like...
I thought they were going to redo it. There was a point in this movie where I was like, they're just going to redo it. We're just going to redo the beginning of the first movie, and then we don't. And I was like, well, then what was the point of all that? So the point of this movie, I guess, is to make Odette's mom and Derek's dad characters.
Derek's dad is like hilarious. I find his character design funny. The man is a king. He does not stop dressing like a hobo. Like, in king clothes, he looks like a hobo.
He looked like he walked off the set of The Croods. Like,
it does look like one of The Croods.
Something about his design is so It's so not in the style of the rest of this movie.
He looks swarthy. He's also like the thing that I found like at first funny and then like intriguing about him is that he's the best character in this movie.
He's like, genuinely like he's charismatic. He has beliefs and ideals.
He's like good at his job, which is the first time I've seen any royal be good at their job in this entire film franchise. I'm not joking. There is a bit where he goes on like an anti-fascist like crusade. I'll talk about when we get there. It was radical.
Yeah. It's odd. Like, he's in a different movie.
No prisons, more socialism. Yes, while he's doing that, Uberta's doing dumb shit.
She's like, she's training dogs.
Okay, so I want to mention my first note for this movie because I feel like it really tells the tone for how I was going into it.
Yeah.
It is, I could have started a Wishbone podcast. the reason I have this note is because it actually took me a long time to find a place to watch this film where I didn't have to pay for it because I feel like I shouldn't be paying for it.
Yeah.
And I turned it on and it started playing that music and I was like, I don't know about this. This film is 90 minutes long.
It's one of those things where it's like my first thought genuinely was how much like the all nostalgia that I might have had for this franchise has been so like worn away that when I heard the opening notes, I was like, I already have problems.
I mean, I feel like I had this problem in one of the 2012 movies or something because where they start playing one of the classic songs from the original movie, and it's like, you guys are still coasting on the fact that you had one good movie.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of a movie I didn't see, but there was a lot of talk about it. Wish.
Yeah, from Disney. Yeah.
The idea of a movie that's just like, remember when we made good movies? Here's a movie.
it's a little bit, how do I say this?
Yuri Lowenthal is his name.
Yuri Lowenthal. It's not even nostalgia baiting at that point, right? It's just, remember when we were good? And it's like the kind of sad thing you expect, like an old man in a small town talking about his football days to be. It's like nobody cares, but we have to like put up with it because otherwise it's just too sad.
So this is a Uberta film. We talked about this.
Yeah, the star of the show.
It's a prequel film about Uberta.
It's a prequel film until it's a sequel film.
Until, yes. But it's, for the majority of it, it's a prequel film about Uberta and her husband, Maximilian.
Maximilian.
Who are born peasants, but she inherits the throne after what I assume had to be some sort of mass culling of the royal family.
It feels like they all got together for a party and then murdered each other red wedding style.
her hair is gray. It will not be gray. There's a good line very early on where she starts meeting other royals. This movie seems to think that a lot of what royalty does is hang around with other royalty, which might be true, but feels wrong.
It's one of those things where it's like you expect them to be hanging out with like lords, ladies, duchesses, not other kings and queens.
Right. But this is maybe my favorite stupid line in the movie. It really, like, genuinely made me laugh out loud. She meets Odette's mom, whose name is Audrey, maybe? I'm making a face because I have no idea.
Fuck. All right. Keep going.
And the first thing she says to her is, we're going to be best friends. And I was like, this is like if you're watching Wicked, but just the cliff notes of Wicked.
Right.
It's just I was like, yeah, because this is a... But the funny thing is, this movie doesn't... It will eventually go on to tell, like, parts, at least, of a, like, real serious story, which is so funny because the setup is very much like, this is still a movie for six-year-old girls.
Yeah, a dumb... And kind of a dumb comedy.
Right. And I didn't like this whole beginning because it was trying to get me to feel for Uberta, who's, like, the worst from her first appearance continuing into the future. Just sucks. Straight up.
It's a character who I think has always been terrible.
Do you remember in the last movie when she tells the emperor who cursed his daughter that children just forget all the bad stuff?
I didn't, but that's amazing.
I suddenly remembered it watching this movie, and I was like, oh yeah, we had a talk about that line. Sorry, continue your thought.
I'm trying to find the name of this. Aubrey.
Aubrey. Okay, I was
close, actually. Odette's mom's name is Aubrey. Okay. But spelled dumb. However you thought in your head when I said spelled dumb, that's how it was spelled. Don't look it up. I think part of the problem, part of the thing about this movie that is so, like, it's like a, you're constantly getting whiplash, because every time Uberta's on screen, you're just watching, like, another one of these stupid movies where Uberta is annoying and Rogers is, like, annoying and...
Like, goofy, weird...
Right, painting a dog nose on himself to assert himself as alpha. The villain of this movie, for Uberta's side of the film, is Queen Victoria. I don't know her real name, but she's Queen Victoria.
There's a moment later in this movie where there was a comedic scene with her, and I was like, you know, if this movie had consistent tone, I might actually like this character, because this is a good idea.
Right.
But this movie doesn't have consistent tone, and therefore she's literally nothing. She's because it's like, I know that this is a world where our stakes are like life and death, serious political stakes, and you're just like some mean lady. Like, who cares?
Right. She's a mean lady, and her purpose in life is to further the cause of purebred dogs.
So yeah, she says she has a cause, and her cause is purebred dogs. And Aubrey tells Uberta, oh, well, maybe your cause should be unwanted dogs. And I was sitting here like, I wasn't sure how to feel about it, because this is before the movie gets really going. I was torn. Because she's an absolute ruler, so stop it with this preschool bullshit, right?
Right.
But on the other hand, I felt like they were kind of doing a first lady thing.
Right, right. This is her healthier school lunches.
The problem is she is the inherited queen. Like, she is the person who's technically in charge. So she shouldn't be doing this. But I have lived... I was in high school when Michelle Obama was like, we should get kids to eat right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw a lot of that trickle down, you know? Like, so I do kind of get it. Like, it's based off of a thing that happens in our world. It's just, okay, here's the problem. The plot of this movie, again, of like the first half, is that men get stuff done while women do dumb shit.
Right.
And this is a movie for young girls. Like,
right. Well, there's also, I think, something odd about making a joke effectively about Michelle Obama 16 years later.
In the year of our Lord, 2023.
We're like literally like four presidential terms later. What are you doing?
We are like a year out of... Actually, we can come out and do post-COVID shit. We're like a year into post-COVID. Like, 2022 was still rough.
Right.
Yeah, the idea that so that setup is like absurd. It's so strange.
And it falls so flat also, because I could not give a shit about this dog thing. Also, there is a parallel here. They're trying to do a thematic parallel with, like, Huberta being like, I love these unwanted dogs, and Maximilian being like, maybe criminals are people too. And that's just kind of insulting.
Also, I don't want to harp on the unwanted dogs too much, but I'm gonna. One of them has styled hair, and the other one has a bow. And I...
Someone's loving them.
I'm sorry, does character design not matter to these people? Like, you should make the dogs look like unwanted dogs. They're supposed to be the worst of the worst.
She asks, I want the worst of the worst. Or no, she says, I want those. And the small British man is like, they're the worst of the worst. You don't want them. But she does. And yeah, and like, the only one of these three dogs that I liked is I liked the Chihuahua with the really big head.
Yeah. Classic.
Because I was like, that dog, medical problems. That's the, all of, well, I mean, all of these dogs are going to have medical problems. But I just liked its design. It looked a little bit like the Scrappy-Doo from the live-action Scooby-Doo movies. just a little runt. I expected these dogs to talk.
There are blessedly no talking animals until, like, the albatross across our necks, Sean Bob appears.
Until we get the three that we've been haunted by these fucking animals, dude. I was so upset when they showed up. I thought we had escaped this. They weren't even really in the China one. And here we are, choked to death by this fucking frog stretchy pants.
Yep.
I hate them. I hate them so much. They're not funny.
They're really not funny. If any character sucks the energy out of a room, it's these fucking animals. It's Jean Bob. The other two are like, they're not funny, but like,
but you know, fine. They're symptoms of a larger disease, right? You know that if they're there, Jean Bob is around the corner. He's the film equivalent of like an STI. So yeah, Huberta gets these dogs. They're little scamps. She decides to train them. Oh no, she gets challenged to a dog show after Queen Victoria, again, not her real name, finds out that she has made her cause mutts. And so she's like, we're going to have a dog show to prove once and for all which dogs are more worthy of being loved, which is not, as I understand it, the point of a dog show, but...
Yep, it's not. I also would have... The correct response to this would be, eat shit, dumbass, and then going out and adopting out your dogs. Like, right. The thing she said she was going to do. But instead, she... Okay, so this is one of those moments where it's like, I feel like if this movie had understood its own tone, it kind of would have worked, which is they are angrily writing back and forth to each other, and it's cutting between them, and then it turns out Huberta doesn't know what a dog show is. And, like, in a movie that's funny, that could have been funny, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, right? Yeah.
But meanwhile, like, at the same moment, Max is sitting on this big council of crowns, I think they call it.
Yep.
And the council is like, there are thieves stealing everyone's food, stealing all the farmers' food. We need to build more prisons to put these thieves in. And Max is like, whoa, excuse me. These are hungry people. They need jobs.
Yeah, what we need to do is give them work so that they can earn a living instead of having to resort to thievery.
And then, and literally, this one guy's like, no, let him fail.
Let him fail.
It's like, and he goes, and he stops a few thieves. He, like, catches them in the act. One of them is literally related to him. And he's like, and he convinces the farmer they're stealing from to hire them on. And the implication is that this starts, like, I guess, a chain reaction of other people doing this. He has stopped the building of more prisons, gotten more work for the farms, and basically implemented a social service for these people who were having to steal food.
So let me ask you this. Do you think this movie's making fun of Maximilian?
I don't think so. I think that this movie, in kind of, again, in kind of a preschool way, is like, this is actually good politics. This is what we should be doing. And it just doesn't have very much of an idea about what that means. But I think what Maximilian is he's the, I forget what you call it.
He's the common man.
Yeah, he's like the you ever read any Jeeves and Wooster?
No, but continue.
Okay, well, okay. The point of the Jeeves and Wooster books is that Jeeves is the gentleman's gentleman who serves Bertie Wooster. And Bertie is always getting into literally the dumbest shit you can possibly imagine. The dumbest problems any human can accidentally stumble into that is also kind of at least feels life or death for him. And if it goes wrong, it will end with him being in jail or getting married to somebody he doesn't want to, or his aunt will be so mad at him that she will eject him from the family. And Jeeves is a genius, but also he is super common. Like, that's supposed to be the point, is that Bertie is rich and a dumbass, and Genius is the smartest man you've ever met. Jeeves is the smartest man you've ever met, and he is, and he can get you out of anything. And I feel like that's what Max is supposed to be. He's supposed to be he's supposed to be better than these born to it royals, because he can see he knows what being a peasant is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, because Uberto doesn't have fucking any of that. Like, he's actually a much better ruler than her.
Yeah, I guess he's supposed to be kind of like a James Stewart kind of thing, but your normal guy who's smart based on the virtue of the fact that he's lived a hard life or whatever. But but it's kind of weird because, again, you mentioned the tone problem, but also it's kind of weird because, like, there's no challenge. He just shows up and everyone's like, maybe we should be mean to criminals. And he's like, what if we were nice to them? You know?
I mean, look, Andy, you're not wrong, but also, I think there is something to be said for actually just considering that idea is a radical enough change
in this totalitarian feudal system
of America. Sorry, what?
What?
What were we talking about?
No. We're a bastion of freedom.
Freedom,
Tony.
Yeah.
The freedom to be oppressed. So
can't get more free than that,
right? So the dog show goes well. Her dogs win, but they win because they're nice to one of the other dogs.
I forget where I wrote it. They have noble hearts. They have noble hearts. one of the other dogs gets crushed under poorly made dog show shit.
Her sisters abandon her, but Uberta's dogs, you know, follow, these three deserve to have the keyblade. They abandon the race. They follow the light in their hearts and save this third dog. And then the third dog is like, I'm going to let them win.
Yeah, third dog's like, actually, I would feel really bad if I outpaced them right now.
Right.
There is somebody, okay, I have this crazy note, which is, I think, me mishearing a line and finding it really funny, but I can't remember the real line or when it was said. But it's right at the end of the dog show. It just says, age 56 is a genuinely funny thing to say.
I have no idea.
I don't remember the context. I remember somebody saying something that I heard as age 56, and my brain was like, it can't be age 56, but what if it fucking was? That would kill me.
Oh, man.
And I don't know what it was.
So the Uberta's dogs win the dog show, And the fallout of this is that now everybody wants to adopt a stray dog.
She adopts away her dogs, which I thought was so funny because I was like, you don't even like these dogs, do you? You've like barely spent time with these dogs. She hired Rogers to train them. She hired a chef to feed them. She doesn't know these dogs.
Do you remember their names, what she calls them?
This, that, and the other.
That's their names. Their names are... Yeah. She didn't even give them fucking names.
Didn't even give them names.
So this I love this, because this, like, child and her dad show up, and he's like, sorry, baby, but I guess there's no dogs for you to adopt. And she's, like, heartbroken, and Yuberta's like, I've saved these three just for you, child. And the dad has to sit there like, yep, that's right. We get to have all three of these dogs just to ourselves.
I was sort of thinking of one dog household, but yeah, I mean, are they, well, oh, okay, they're monsters. They're like known to be like kind of, okay, yeah.
Three of them. Great.
Three of them. Hmm.
Nightmare scenario.
Cool.
But so yeah, all the strays are adopted.
This is when I wrote in my notes that Aubrey and Max have to die soon, because we are on the clock now. We do not have a lot of time.
Right. So this is functionally the end of Yuberta's story, which is going to be really, really funny about 30 minutes from now.
Yeah.
So
then we get to see what I wrote down as Derek's last memory of his father.
Yeah, that's right. Derek gets born, and I gotta say, they made an absolutely adorable little Derek for this movie.
He is cute. His head is huge.
His head is like massive. It's like the size of the rest of his body.
Yeah.
Also, he's gonna grow up to be there was something about him where I was like, oh, he's gonna be this exact same character for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
He's going to be this dumb. So his dad's out here dadding. Maximilian's dadding hit up. He's like teaching him how to shoot a bow and arrow. Being like, the things we do are dude stuff. Don't tell your mom.
Don't tell your mom about this dude stuff. Well, they're practicing the famous move from the first one, Princess.
Right.
I don't remember what catch. They call it, but you shoot an arrow at your friend, and your friend catches it and shoots it at the person they want to shoot it at.
Right.
Lunatic behavior that makes a lot more sense when you're using a toy bow and arrow.
Right. And it's possible to catch.
Yeah.
We even briefly, very, very briefly, get to see Derek's friend from the first movie as a child.
Yeah, his friend slash sidekick, who I feel like we haven't seen
since.
I mean, maybe since they turned into 3D movies? Like,
yeah.
Like, maybe we haven't seen him since 2012? I don't know. I don't know.
I was a shock. Maybe we haven't seen him
since 98, for all I know. Like,
Right.
They had to make a new model for him.
After this, you know, we go back to the committee of crowns.
Oh, I do want to mention one thing really quick. Yeah. It's a scene that I kind of wished had happened after Derek's dad died, because it is Yuberta hiring Rogers to be his tutor and help raise him.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this scene isn't bad, but would have been better after Max died.
Would have made a little more sense.
Yes, but Rogers does have a great line. He is like, oh, did you hire me to train your underachieving goldfish? And the reason I like that line is because my thought was like, sort of.
A little bit.
Derek is kind of an underachieving goldfish when you think about it.
He's fine. Being a kind of dumb but kind person is not the worst thing you can get out of a king.
No, it's just, he really leans into the dumb a lot more than, like, every other himbo character.
Right, okay?
Like, nobody else killed their spouse because they were too dumb.
That's true.
He also lets his adopted daughter's parents die, doesn't even try to save them.
Yeah, she only had a dad. One parent?
Parent. You're right. My apologies.
But if he didn't do that, how was he going to get a daughter?
That's true. Free child day. Free child day down at the burning farm. So, the kingdoms are in trouble. The pirates have made their intentions of being pirates known.
Considering the impact that these pirates will have on the plot of the film, the pirates could have been a little bit more well-defined. We're just told there are pirates. Maximilian has been made the head of the Council of Crowns. Oh, yeah,
that's right, because the oldest man in history has retired.
When he came on screen, I was like, that's Gandalf the White. Like, and then he retires, he gives it to Derek. Apparently, I guess he nominates Derek and Maximilian, and Maximilian's voted in. Excuse me. Although I don't think there should be a head. Like, they're sitting at a round table and they all.
Right. The point kinks. Is that they're all equals.
Yeah. What are we doing? But there is.
I thought it was just a talking stick.
He does not want to do what is, I think, made clear is the smart move. But it is also the ruthless move, which is killing a bunch of pirates before they try to start shit. And he doesn't want to do it, probably because he did a really good job of not getting any people killed the last time there was a big problem put in front of him. And so he says they'll vote on it tomorrow, but secretly goes out to meet with the pirates on his own, which, okay.
In the middle of the night.
Okay, you can see a little bit where Derek got some of his smarts, right?
Right.
Because that's dumb.
It is. Not only does he go out in the middle of the night, it's like a foggy night, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they're like, the pirates break their words. We can't get them in a treaty. And I genuinely thought he was going to suggest hiring them.
Because if we hired
historically, that has worked.
Yeah, just pay them to go pirate other people.
Yeah. Most pirates are just out-of-work privateers.
That's true.
That's generally what a pirate is.
Could you imagine if truckers did that? I guess that's how you get Mad Max.
Yeah.
Never mind, you know, the circle has completed. Moving on. I just can't think of any other profession where, like, it's such a problem to, like just have sailors with boats be out of work.
Well, I mean, often they were paid to already attack other boats.
Right.
They're basically mercenaries, right? So I guess mercenaries is a problem, theoretically. But pirates are mercenaries of the sea, and therefore more romantic and kind of scarier.
Yeah. So, the next morning, while they're waiting for him, a pirate ship attacks the bay. And I gotta say, this was the dinkiest scene in the whole movie.
Hilarious. It was... they just put, like, fire after effects after each time a cannon went off. Neither, like, the one pirate ship shot up a dock a little bit, and then they shot back with these cannons that we're told are the best cannons. Can't even reach them. Why are they here?
The effect of the cannonballs hitting the water from the pirate ship and also from the cannons, it feels like somebody just, like, threw a rock into a pond.
I think you can get that effect in a Humble Bundle. Like,
right. It's so pathetic, and it looks like I'm watching a miniature of a pirate of like a kid playing if this zoomed out and it was Derek playing in a bathtub. One, that would be morbid, but two, that would be really funny.
That'd be fucked up, but great. That would have been a really good cut, though. I would respect this movie a lot more if they cut to Derek in a bathtub playing pirate.
Right. So, obviously, they fear the worst.
Then a lot of kings, a lot of kings get on a boat together. And I was like, did you guys get a designated survivor or what are we doing?
the king of education has to stay back. In an undisclosed location.
And I knew they weren't going to, but I look, sometimes you need a corpse. I know this man's dead because I know that 25 years later he's dead, but I need a corpse.
I don't think he's dead.
Now, that worries me.
We're getting a whole other movie, and if it's not about his fucking dad coming back, I don't know what we're doing here.
I mean, they have this, he's going to get the journal, right, with all of his dad's secrets.
His dad's secrets of being kind, and we can't let anybody see this journal of him being kind. Throw it into the sea. No, don't throw it into the sea. Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
The journal thing was baffling. They explain that it would be like a black mark on his character that he went against the
wishes of the council.
The council, because they, you know, they're all supposed to be like kings who, and he essentially went rogue, I guess, but like he literally just went to meet some pirates. So like, I actually don't think it would have been as devastating as they seem to think it is. So I don't know what lie they told everybody, like that he was kidnapped by pirates, he was out sailing and was attacked. I don't know. But he dies.
Uh-huh. He's dead.
There is some genuinely very emotional scenes about him being dead, one of which is Rogers telling Derek he'll play with him every day. And Derek's like, no, it's just today's fine.
Just today is okay. That was a good line. That got me. I laughed at that.
Well, it was what was kind of fucked up about it was like a genuine child reaction. Like only one of them knew that this was an emotional moment.
Right, right, right.
Oh, and Uberta says she's not going to join the Council of Crowns, and I don't know what they were trying to do with this.
Because she needs to become a queen.
This movie was trying to frame it as though this was her coming into her own.
Yes.
But every other, it seems like every other ruler around this area joins this council so that they can rule better.
Yeah.
And she just doesn't.
It's very odd for sure. I don't understand what this moment is either, other than maybe they're like, well, now we don't have to deal with all these other characters.
That's fine. But in that case, she should have been like, I can't, I'm in mourning. Like, I will not be able to join this council. If she was sad, too sad to join, I would have been like, fine, Uberta, I get it. Or if she was like, that was his thing, I can't take his place or something. But no, she's like, no, I must become a queen. Like, what's the other, there are queens on the council, Uberta.
Right, right, right. I have a kingdom to rule. They also have kingdoms to rule. That's how you get on this council.
They're wearing crowns. It's the name of the council.
Okay, so now we I think this is when Odette's born.
Yes, this scene borders. It's okay. So one, Aubrey is wearing a million blankets. Two, right. There are no doctors or midwives. Uberta, I guess, figures she can handle this. Insane.
It's very, very clear that Aubrey, who is wearing her crown while she is lying in bed, is also wearing her dress because the animators were like, we're not making a new model for this.
We're not making a new model for this. And yeah, that she, I mean, they didn't even make a pregnant model. Okay. Uberta comes out of the room with Odette.
Yeah, yeah.
And my note was like, hey, is she dead in there? Hey, wait, is she just dead in there?
Is she
wait.
Dead in there?
And then Uberta, like, everybody's like, her dad's holding her and sure, Derek, and Derek's like, boy, a girl's boring. And Uberta goes back and then opens the door again and Odette's dad is just like, no. Like, oh, okay, I guess we know. And it was just like, it was entirely all like movie shorthand for stuff.
So on the one hand, the way that this is shot and edited makes it feel like you Berta just let Aubrey die.
Let her die back there. Didn't stop any bleeding. Didn't cut the umbilical cord. Like, what are we doing?
Just yanked the baby out of her body and then, you know, ran it off to hand it off to the king.
Berta performed an emergency C-section and didn't tell anyone.
We get, this is like the pacing of this feels like a really rushed episode of ER. Because he runs.
Also, we haven't talked about the architecture of this world at all, but it's hilarious. There are windows here that go down to the floor and there's just sky beyond. So yeah. I don't know how high up they are, but they can just walk out the window. There is currently an old man and a kid just standing here next to these windows that go into pure nothingness.
Yeah, yeah, very. It has an almost ethereal quality.
It's like the whole thing is happening in a David Lynch dream.
It's about to get even more Lynchian because the movie enters its brown period after this. A bunch of maids are watching the king, Odette's dad, and they're like, wow, he won't even eat. He's just so sad.
And they send for you, Berta, again, kind of hilarious. One, she doesn't live that close. But two, like, does he not have friends, other friends?
There's a whole council of kings that he could have, like,
you'd think they could check in. Berta shows up, and he has, like, this genuinely miserable monologue.
I love this monologue.
About how he closes his eyes and he's like alone on a boat on an empty ocean. And Andy, this was the moment where I was like, now hold up. Is this movie good? Wait.
I did not have the same reaction to it because I think Uberta's next line is like, close your eyes again. And I was like, oh, okay. Shock therapy, this guy. And she's like, you're not alone on that boat. I'm on that boat with you. And in my mind, I'm like, that just feels like abject torture.
Well, I think she's trying to share in his pain.
Right. I know what it's like to lose a spouse, allegedly.
Allegedly. I mean, she did lose him. Even if he's not dead, that guy's lost.
Well, she's going to find him again at the end of this movie.
Not this movie.
Yeah.
All right. I will not with this. This moment, I was like, is this movie about to get good? And mm-hmm. It was so funny that this is where I had that thought, because this is the last moment that the movie has anything going for it.
I believe the next thing that happens is a smash cut to 25 years later.
Yeah. So we're 40 minutes in. You were right. It's about half and half.
Wait. Before that, we get a montage here, I think. Or does that happen here? Does that happen? We get two montages, but this is the one that really got me. We get a montage here of, like, all the movies.
No. That's not till later.
Is that not till later? I thought that happened here.
That's when Odette starts telling everybody how great Uberta is, despite the fact that this...
No, but that's not, we don't, when that, this is the montage, because I thought we got a montage here where we saw 2D animated movie.
Yeah, that was when Odette's talking.
No,
about
really?
how Uberta had a story. Yeah, and we see the 2D animated movies, which I was like, you shouldn't do that. Those are the good movies. But then they also do the movie where they adopt the kid. And I was like, wow, that fire was badly animated.
It's bananas. It is good to see that the streetlight animation has gotten better.
Very close to the end of my notes, I did question if they ran out of money and had to do a flashback episode.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I genuinely thought this happened now, but I guess not. Yeah. We just smash cut to 25 years later, and now we are in what I thought this movie was going to be for the whole movie.
Right. This is where back to form.
So Huberta's alter ego, Madame St. Clair.
She was introduced in the last movie, right? As a already famous international opera singer. But I guess she has embraced that as a thing she's doing now, walking around being an opera singer.
And looking like Yzma.
And looking a lot like Yzma. In a way that's probably not actionable, but, like, I'd be careful.
Yeah. Oh, I think Disney's got a lot of other stuff going on right now.
If Disney wants to sue the estate of Richard Rich so that they can claim another princess and fold it into their, to put it on Disney Plus, they will try that.
Like, I think if they put all the Swan Princess movies on Disney Plus, they would have to charge less for that service.
I mean, agreed, but maybe they just want the original. I don't know.
That's fair. So she's doing her farewell tour, right? This is her last performance. And she's like, maybe I should retire from being queen and just do this forever. And then she's like, well, even if I don't, I think I should step down. I think I should finally pass off the crown and scepter to Derek and Odette. The time has come. And so she decides to plan this massive coronation. Derek and Odette are like, sure, do whatever you want.
Derek requests a small coronation, and I thought to myself, is that even possible? Can you do a small private coronation?
A small, just the two. We were thinking of self-coronating in the state of Colorado.
You can't self-coronate in public, Andy.
So.
Excuse me.
So I genuinely don't have anything to say about this part of the movie, other than there's a point in which Odette, after being taught by Huberta how to treat peons, is like, I don't know if this is right. And then her mom steps out of a mirror and is like, no, it is right to treat people below you as if they're below you.
Right, right. Right, because then Odette's like, oh, but it makes them better. It drives them. And then and then the rest of the movie, she acts like her literal mom came out and told her that. And I was like, Odette, that had to be in your head. You can't with this.
This is a metaphor. But she does act like that was her real mom talking to her.
You know a force ghost.
My favorite line in this movie comes from Odette when... I think it's when they're looking at the chef and he's like, I've done it. I've made 20 courses.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, wow, I guess people do feel great when they're doing something great.
Yeah.
I bet they do, Odette. What the fuck is this? Her mind is blown. She's like, I can't believe I've never thought of this before.
The idea that Odette even had a lesson to learn from Huberta is absurd. Huberta sucks. And what's funny is that this movie refuses to reckon with the fact that Huberta has genuinely gotten worse in the past 25 years. Become a worse person.
A more selfish, more self-aggrandizing human being. Max was her, like, tether to reality, it seems.
And this movie does not examine that at all.
We are so far, like both in time but also in tone, from a moment in which Odette, in a fit of sadness, almost killed herself. Because she was turned into a swan by evil magic, right?
Yeah.
And now this movie's like, hey, maybe this awful character who's the only thing more inflated than her head is her hair. Maybe she needs a living eulogy.
bring it to the living eulogy, I want to mention a few things, because you don't have very much to talk about for this, which is fine. But I want to mention a few things that, like, really jumped out. One, do you remember how old Odette's kid is?
13?
She can't be 13. She's getting married 16? Off.
16, I think.
I think she must be 16. They are going to crown, her and Lucas are going to crown.
Oh my god, I cannot believe you remembered Lucas's name of all things.
They said it. They said Lucas's name, and I don't think they said the girl's name.
They didn't. Oh shit.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe they did, and it just flowed right past me. I was just sitting there like, they look like they're not supposed to be adults yet. So they must be like 16, probably. Them. There's also the queen lady, the evil queen comes back. Like, she's like the main villain of this part of the movie, which is absurd. She hasn't talked to Huberta in 25 years, it seems like. She wants an autograph from Huberta's alter ego. And this is the thing where I thought, if this movie managed its tone better, this could have been a fun idea. Which is that she gives Huberta a permanent marker and then proceeds to act like that's a tattoo. And there was a part of me that's just like, the inherent absurdism. It's like a SpongeBob thing. To be like, this permanent marker is essentially a tattoo is good. She goes to a crappy tattoo parlor and he draws an X over it. Like, that's funny. And it's a funny character motivation. And it's a funny reason to become evil. But she's not interesting. And nothing interesting happens.
I think the most interesting thing about her is her child attendant. She has this, like, attendant.
With the, like, huge ruff.
Yeah, he's got a huge ruff. And she must... I don't want to say this in this way because of the political climate that we're in, but she must prefer her attendants to be children because it's been 30 years and it's still a child.
So she has to
have replaced him. But she uses that child attendant as a weapon at one point to, like, fight off the talking animals, which she does not seem to be shocked that they are talking animals.
I mean, word's got to have gotten around by this point, right? So... yeah, Odette, who was raised into being a princess, got a fucking talking to by Huberta, dumb, annoying crow. I also want to mention that Odette briefly acts like she's intimidated by the idea of becoming queen, which is ridiculous because she has been a ruler and she's been a swan like 5 times.
She is a ruler in her own right. She has her own kingdom from her dad.
That kingdom, they forget about that kingdom a lot. This movie forgets that kingdoms are a thing, essentially.
That, yeah, kings are just people with crowns who wield an authority, but they don't have, like, a place to be. They're effectively the same as, like CEOs. They just kind of wander around.
So the coronation's happening. There's this big machine that, as far as I can tell, just does magic because they didn't try to make it look like machinery. They tried to make it look like magic, so I don't know what we're fucking doing.
Right.
There's this big machine that basically just makes a big clamshell for them to do the coronation in. But Evil Lady goes down there to ruin it, and the animals lose against her despite the fact that they have fought multiple evil wizards.
Right. This is just a woman. She doesn't even have the secret arts.
No, she doesn't. Everything, like, collapses, and Odette starts this monologue that she was 100% saving for Huberta's funeral, or perhaps for her original coronation idea, which they thought would only happen after Huberta died.
Right. She's had this one in her back pocket for some time, and it is the biggest load of horseshit.
It's such garbage. She's talking about, one, like, how great Huberta was, and how this does not, like, this is not the final thing, and that this doesn't,
it doesn't define her.
This is what she will be known for. And, like, and it does this multiple movie flashback of just Huberta in different movies, and it's like, you didn't do shit in these movies. And here's Odette basically making a bunch of excuses for Huberta at her coronation. It's her coronation. It's not about Huberta.
It's her day. And then, I love this, though.
Yeah.
Because then she's like, and we will always remember Huberta as the queen of queens.
Which is hilarious, because she doesn't know that? Like, that her husband kept calling her the Queen of Queens? And also, she's not. She didn't ever, ever even advise another queen. Do you know who did that? Was Max. He was the King of Kings for about 15 seconds, and then he died.
And then he died? Well, and then Uberta's like, no, Odette, you're the Queen of Queens.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
Awesome. Great.
It's definitely more true for Odette.
Odette has counseled at least four different world leaders.
Yeah.
She went to China.
She did go to China.
She fought a Chinese wizard. Or wizardess? Sorceress?
Sorceress, yeah. Maybe. I think she might have been a sorceress. Derek does some casual T-posing when they put the crowns on their heads. I really enjoyed that.
It's like, on the one hand, this movie feels like a bunch of people in their 50s trying to send off this franchise, right? With a swan song, no pun intended. And then also they're like, but we can only spend like a dollar and a dream to do it. Like, Brian Nissen is out here dragging and dropping the 3D models into the scenes himself.
And then in the next scene,
this entire fucking movie, okay, there is a character in the background, like, going to different parts, different places that we've seen in this movie, by the way. Now, no other movie, just this movie, right? And he, like, the only thing we know about him is that he's in this fancy carriage, and when he wants the carriage to stop, he hits the roof with the little stick. And the movie takes the time when the Maximilian is riding around in his carriage that he does that. It zooms in on his hand. He hits the roof with his hand to make the carriage stop. So the whole movie, I'm like, this is King Max. He's been secretly watching the events of this movie happen this whole time.
Do you know what's funny, Andy?
Yeah.
I was also like, that can't be Max, can it? And Shane was like, no, it's the artist. And I was like, how'd you know it was the artist? And she was like, yeah, because that's the spot where Max picked up that artist.
That's true, it was. I did also notice that, but I'm not that smart. I genuinely was expecting Max to show back up, and when it was the artist, I was pissed. I was so mad.
Andy, this artist is so important, and let me tell you why. So this artist was really originally picked up off the street and painted Uberta, and Uberta wanted him to paint Max too, but Max was like, can't stand around that long. I have a job to do, unlike you. he didn't say that, but it was implied. And so 25 years later, he's painted Max from memory. Now, that's crazy. Why didn't he do that earlier? I don't know. But here's the important thing about the artist, Magnus. He's the only character that has aged.
That's true.
He has like a gray beard. And I was like, why? Why only you?
He ages, like, he goes from looking like a little kid to looking like the guy from Up. or maybe like Scrooge, you know, like
it's kind of a Scrooge, yeah.
And God, this portrait that he painted of Max is I thought the way that they modeled him in 3D was unflattering. This portrait is shit. It's really bad.
He did it from memory, man.
He painted the crown crooked.
Max wore that crown crooked. I don't know what to tell you.
He painted like tears into his fucking tunic.
I don't know what to tell you, man. He remembered that guy perfectly.
He practically put shit on his shoes. I agree that he remembered it perfectly. I just think it's like, this is his royal portrait. Derek has never seen his father.
He put shit on his shoes.
Anyway, Derek and Odette show up, and Derek's like, I guess this is my dad. And Odette's And Odette's like, we both got our parents back today.
Is she okay? Like, is Odette all right?
I think maybe she's cracked from the pressure. I'm gonna be real with you, they should have made her mom a swan. Like, I feel like I've been harping on this for every movie since the second movie, but like people used to turn into swans in these movies.
People used to, back in my day, the Swan Princess is like fucking swan in it.
She was a swan, goddammit.
I mean, if they did the exact same dream sequence, but instead of her mom, it was a swan, I'd be like, yeah, yeah, okay. I don't think the Swan Princess has turned to a swan since 2014.
It's rough. It's rough out there for me.
It's rough out there. Wait, sorry. Hold up. I need to ask this question. No, the evil wizard in the last one did not turn her into a swan. They put him into the Wikimedia zone. Sorry, continue.
Oh, you're right.
It actually would have been a great time to turn her into a swan.
And then we get possibly the most threatening words that a movie can end with. To be continued.
This film, these movies are always done in twos. And I think that's amazing and ludicrous.
When the last Spider-Verse movie did that, I was like, the length of production of these films and the problems that I know these films are having being made in the background. This isn't even like a Babe Ruth pointing at the stands grand slam. This is like a we will cure cancer in 5 years kind of a prediction for an animated movie of that caliber. Because it's a nightmare. Making those movies is a nightmare. But then the Swan Princess movies just casually are like, yeah, we'll just do a two-parter. Why not? Like, who gives a shit? Well, would anyone notice if one of our movies ended with to be continued and then we just didn't make another one? Would anyone care?
I mean, we would notice.
I'd be pissed.
It was released in September of 2023. They cranked it out the same year. They probably just made, they had too many ideas. They made too long a movie. Cut it in half.
I honestly, if they had released just a 3-hour Swan Princess movie, could you imagine? Because that's the other thing, is these movies are only 90 minutes.
Oh, no. I refuse. Andy, 20 minutes could have been cut out of this movie easy. I refuse to even consider the idea that that they're only 90 minutes. I won't have it.
Oh, God. I still don't have internet. I want to know how many years were there between this movie and the previous one. Because I could imagine that they just made them back to back. Because these movies have the same like quality of animation as like a little Einstein's episode.
Yeah. There was a bit early on where I forget whose mouth it zoomed into, but I got very angry very quickly. I was like, don't do that. You didn't animate any teeth.
No, my God. There is in one of the flashback scenes during the montage, they zoom in on Uberta's mouth full of teeth. And I'm like, why are you doing that? She doesn't have teeth anymore. You've abandoned teeth.
The teeth really come and go.
Derek's dad has no teeth for this entire movie, and I could not get away with it. He's just gums and lips. And he's also not animated as well, or I guess doesn't have as much physics attached to his clothing as other people. So he has like a stiffness to him. I don't know.
I need to bring something up because it's actually fucking me up. Yeah. I am on the Wikipedia page for the series, and it has the characters in the films they're in. And at first I was I had a minute like, oh, well, this is weird. Apparently Rothbart was in that flashback. I'm like, I guess he probably was. I didn't see him. But like, perfectly reasonable that Rothbart's in a flashback. But then I kept scrolling and I saw Princess Elise, and she's not in the next movie.
No.
Which is like, how, in what's almost certainly planned to be the last movie, they didn't bring back the character who was the main character for like 7 of these?
Right, for like a good chunk of these were like, this was the Elise franchise.
Yeah, and all they've done is they've decided to give her a cameo in this movie, and then that's it. She hasn't done anything since her terrible romance movie.
Oh my God. Well, and then, Lucas is a prince now, so I guess they're like thumbsed up to be married.
I mean, that's the implication for sure. I didn't know you could do that, but
I mean, they're both just, no offense, they're both just peasants. I think it was okay for them to get married anyway.
This is fair. I mean, I think I brought that up as a potential solution back when Lucas was like, oh, we're never gonna get married because I'm a peasant. And I was like, whatever, man, they'll adopt you for real. Like, real fast, they'll do it.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, you don't think, listen, just put like set your parents' tulip farm on fire, and Derek will come running. I thought this movie was fine. I kind of enjoyed watching it.
On the ranking of Swan Princess movies, it's like high. This for a Swan Princess movie, I think it's a good movie.
It's easily the third best one.
I mean, I think it might be. The second best one has to be one of the ones with number 9 in it, but...
Oh, you're right. Fourth best one.
What are your rankings here?
Well, I think the first movie is the best one.
Obviously.
I think the second movie is the second best one.
It has the best name. Escape from Castle Mountain.
Escape from Castle Mountain. I love escaping from Castle Mountain. I love it.
Andy, we all love escaping from Castle Mountain. I don't know. I actually don't know that number 9 was ever in a good movie, because number 9 is usually the good thing about a real garbage movie.
I think they were in the Christmas one and they were in the mystery one.
Yeah, that sounds right. But those ones weren't good.
Mystery was, I think it was, I remember it being fine. I remember it. I have no capacity for remembering any of these films anymore.
I think A Royal Family Tale might be, because here's the thing about, okay, so here's the thing about animated movies. A bad animated movie is a lot worse than a bad live action movie.
Yes.
And it's really hard to watch a bad animated movie with the, like, so bad it's good, let's just have fun watching this. I think you might be able to with A Royal Family Tale. Because that's the one where Elise's dad gets blown up and they have to fight the secret arts, which is just an orb in a cave.
Like, that's true. That's true.
And like, I think it's that's
the last time. Is that? No, I think we get one more movie with the secret arts, because I know the Christmas one.
I think there's another secret arts, but I don't remember when it is. But like, I think that is the like. Stand out like good bad one. Like, this is the one you might watch for fun because you know it's garbage.
Oh man. Yeah, I was surprised, I guess, at just how watchable this was. I still don't think it's good, and I do think that there is a bit of me that has been so like inundated with these movies that I no longer have like a sense of the real anymore.
Well, a lot of the other movies really care about the Swan Princess's established canon. And that can be really dense, because mm-hmm. then we'll get a bunch of squirrels who serve the Swan Princess. Like,
oh, we didn't even get the Force Squirrel.
And we didn't get the Force Squirrel. Who in Princess Tomorrow Pirate Today famously just ended the movie by telling everyone where to be at the end of the movie. Oh, this movie felt like it was, you're right, felt like it was supposed to be a soft reboot, essentially. It's not going to dig as deep into all the shit that's going on with the Swan Princess, because it's supposed to be mostly a flashback and we're going to establish other stuff. And I feel like it made it feel a lot lighter than a lot of the other Swan Princess movies.
That's true. That is true. It's also pretty self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of like the montage scene, and also the fact that it is a soft reboot of the first movie. I can't imagine this movie makes
any sense without seeing the first movie.
At least, right?
Yeah.
Again, that's kind of the weird thing. On the one end, it's a soft reboot. On the other hand, it is like an obituary to the oeuvre of the Swan Princess movies.
I think that's fair. I think, not to use the word again, but this is the one that feels the most like a swan song. Like, on purpose, we are trying mm-hmm. to end the franchise. This is the one that killed the franchise.
The next one is.
We'll see. I'm convinced that this is a zombie franchise that will come back from the dead.
I can imagine if Richard Rich has passed away. I don't know who owns the rights to Swan Princess anymore, but I can imagine somebody grabbing them and doing something. But I don't
fucking
know. Fucking
Yuri Lowenthal somehow.
Right. But I guess I felt the same way about The Land Before Time, and we still haven't done anything with that franchise in almost a decade.
That's true. There was a lot of Land Before Time films, and then it's like they had their time.
Well, and there was a couple years ago, right? There was this like a hubbub of like, oh, maybe they're gonna do something with it, and I was like, no, there's no way. Like, it's such a of its time franchise now. And I don't mm-hmm. think it has the same nostalgia. I don't think anybody in my generation is as excited about anything as people who grew up in the 80s are for, like, Ghostbusters and Back to the Future, right?
I like Neopets.
Neopets, maybe?
Well, I guess they tried to revitalize Neopets, and I got into it for about 5 minutes. So, like, I don't know.
We don't have... Well, because we don't have... Part of the problem is we don't have any money. I'm not gonna shell out, right? Like the guys that all of these like Ghostbusters freaks who are excited about the newest Ghostbusters Winter Witch movie or whatever the fuck, like they got money. I don't got that money. Like I'm not gonna pay for I'm not gonna go to the theater to watch a Land Before Time movie. It simply won't happen. You throw a retrospective documentary about the Land Before Time onto Disney Plus, maybe I'll watch that.
Thank you for listening to Direct to Video. VHS.
VHS.
I've been your host, Tony Robusto.
I've been your host, Nate Reyes.
Fairly certain we didn't introduce ourselves again at the top. I like the consistency. You can find me at inspiredbytrueevents.org and the podcast at direct2.video.
You can find me also here at direct2.video on the podcast. You can also find me on YouTube at Ethical Games Journalism, where I have had to... God, Tony, let me tell you what, man. I had to remake that fucking spreadsheet. Uh-oh. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to my original spreadsheet. I must have accidentally deleted it off of my drive at some point, but I did have to remake it, and I am not happy about it. And now the comeback is real. It's happening today. So look forward to seeing a new episode of Project Revolution on the internet probably sometime next week. I guess when you're hearing this, it will have already been out. I'm going to try to put that on a schedule because I need things on a schedule at this point in my life.
Absolutely.
All right. So what's the... Again, I don't have access to the internet. What is the name of the next movie?
Next month... Okay, sorry. We're going to make it clear. We're gonna make sure we start releasing these on a schedule monthly last Monday of the month.
Can you believe that we haven't done that in all the time we've been doing this?
I mean, look, schedules are hard.
Get harder as you get older.
Yeah, we released like two a month when this started because we didn't have that much going on.
That's true.
And next month we are going to watch The Swan Princess Far Longer Than Forever.
Oh, what a threatening title.
Intense. Oh my god, Scully's back in the next one. But Elise isn't.
We're getting the fucking ghost swirl and not their adopted child.
This is cursed. This is cursed information. I shouldn't know this.
All right. A big thank you to Scott Buckley.
Yeah, Scott Buckley for Homeward.
Homeward, thank you.
Yeah. I am the ghost of John Smith.
And I am the ghost of Jean Bob. I genuinely couldn't remember the things that she said in the movie. When Hubert is announcing the birth of the pregnancy of Prince Derek.
Don't look up the pregnancy of Prince Derek on the internet.
He famously doesn't ever want to be pregnant.
He doesn't know what sex is.
He wants nothing to do with pregnancy.
The only way to have a kid, as far as Derek is concerned, is to blow up a farmer.
Or, like, kill your wife.
I'm sorry?
He's there when I keep wanting to call her Aurora. Odette's mom dies.
I guess that's true. Maybe that's why he refuses to have sex with Odette. He's like, you'll die.
you'll die. It's not worth the risk. You have you're genetically predisposed to death during pregnancy.
I mean, that's not wrong. Uberta appears to be about 40, 50 years older than Odette's mom, and she goes to pregnancy really easy.